I'm Ted Baker in the studios of WEOS and WHWS in the Scambling Center at Hobart and William Smith Colleges, and this is our Hobart Football Podcast for Week 4, Keystone on Alumni and Family Weekend, 6 o'clock Saturday night game at the Boss, joined by the head coach of the Statesman, Kevin DeWall. Welcome back.
Thanks, Ted. Good to have you.
42-21 over St. John Fisher. First thing is, the game was a little bit chippy. You picked up quite a few penalties, including some 15-yarders. Is that something you talked about? Do you think your guys lost composure a couple of times?
Yeah, we talked about it this week. I think a couple of the calls were maybe two-sided, and we were the ones that got caught, or there's a couple that maybe were just from aggressive plays in the special teams that were bang-bang plays, but no doubt we have to clean that aspect up. 129 yards of penalty yards really changed some moments of that game. I thought we were in control, and a couple of those penalties extended drives for them or changed some of the momentum and crucial times in that game that we were fortunate that we were able to overcome. But we definitely talked about it this week as a learning opportunity and just another way for us to improve this upcoming week.
How do you feel about the defensive performance? You gave up 21, but one was on a short field, one was kind of late, so it's not always how many points you give up.
No, it was. I thought our defense played really hard. They were fast, aggressive. The first short field was really a byproduct of two situations. We lost contain on the kickoff return that got them past midfield, and then they had actually responded there, and then it was the first time this year where we had turned the ball and gave them a short field. And credit to the opponent, they capitalized on a play that was a close one. And so in a way, it was good to kind of get that first touchdown off the board against our defense. They had been pitching shutouts from a defensive touchdown standpoint. But and then the other one late, again, they hit, as we were rotating some young guys in, they had their starters in, and they hit one big pass over the top of one of our younger DBs that is a good learning opportunity for him in that moment.
The play before they scored their first touchdown, starting quarterback loses his helmet, comes out. They were called for an ineligible man downfield. I thought they could have been called for quarterback beyond the line of scrimmage, which would have been loss of down, and instead of having the third down play over, it would have been fourth down. Did you get a look, and do you think he was over the line?
It was close, and I thought that originally was the call. It was over on their sideline, and it took the officials a long time to talk about that one. And, you know, I think as the it was a very emotional game. Our guys were fired up the play, and I know there you mentioned earlier it was a little bit of an edgy game. You know, we want our defense to play fast, play aggressive, and they were. And in that component, we weren't complaining about the call. We just want to line up and play the next one. And I think what happened was just one of our young DBs, you know, missed a little bit of his movement key, and that gave him a little bit of a window for the backup quarterback, who, to his credit, came in and made a nice throw.
Let's talk about running the football. You can't do that, doesn't matter how good the backs are, without the play of the offensive line. You've got a combination of young guys and experienced guys, and they've been able to open holes.
It's been good to see them, and the good news is we took a step forward this past week with just a couple of other guys coming back from injuries. And again, we're just trying to really establish that depth of having not just five offensive linemen, but a group mentality. And we said from day one, the more cohesive that group is, the better we're going to be. And I thought they played hard. They won the line of scrimmage. There was a couple plays, I'm sure, that they want back. But really proud of their effort and really just the want to. The preparation that went in and the mindset that they said that they were going to be the more physical team up front.
You've got the best running back in the country. His name is either Rayshon Denham or Tim Boswell. I don't know which. But what a combination to have two guys like that. They can go hard. They know they can get a breather. Different styles of running. Boz more of an outside breakaway guy. Denham more of a ground pounder. It gives you just a great attack.
It's really good. And those two guys, as consummate professionals, are, you know, pushing each other every single day. Truly selfless guys. So like there'll be times where they'll tap out and let the other guy come in and finish off a drive. And you know, we like that 1-2 combination. But I also think the 3-4-5 of that group have shown, you know, that they've gotten in and had some solid minutes as well. So the depth, the competitiveness every single day from coaching staff down, Coach Q is doing a great job preparing those running backs. And I just love the mindset. And I see them on the sideline. They're the first to congratulate one another when they score. There's really no, you know, personal agendas. It's what's best for the group. And, you know, fortunately, Tim and Ray are playing very, very well. And that 1-2 combination hopefully can stay forward this week.
Yeah, how about Andres Duran breaking tackles, going into the end zone? Here's a young guy. He knows he's not going to get too many touches. and he makes the extra effort in a game that's really kind of decided, but he wants that touchdown.
Yeah, he's a tough physical runner. He has that mindset that we really love from our backs, that you know, they're going to finish forward and have that positive demeanor. And he was actually our rookie of the week, more so just because of his play on special teams. He's been a contributor to all three games, but I thought that was his most complete game yet. And then finishing off with a nice physical run was for his first career touchdown, was a good finish for him.
I think David Crewson can be a little streaky at times. There's days when he's on, he's hitting everything. There's days when he's missing. It looked to me like you shortened up the patterns. Did you intentionally go to shorter pass patterns to kind of get him into a rhythm during that game?
Well, we early on, his first throw, for example, was a long one downfield. We got behind them, and just, you know, again, the chemistry piece was with a first-year wide receiver. And so, you know, I think there were some opportunities because, unlike the first two teams, Fisher did play some coverage. They were doing a lot of cover two, bringing their safeties back. So there were intentionally some calls and then some checks from David that kind of put it into some shorter routes. But, you know, we watched the film pretty intently on Sunday. And, you know, he had some really good balls, you know, thrown on time and accurate. And then there's a couple that, you know, he wanted back. So just like any position, we talked about the O-line, the running backs, there's coaching points and areas we need to improve in all those. David and the passing game, there's definitely some areas we wanted to focus on as well.
And you've been looking for the young receiver core to step up, and guys are starting to emerge. Alex LaBella and Chris Bartosik are kind of becoming go-to guys, and that group's just going to get better and better.
Yeah, and this week in particular, we've had some guys step up through this week in practice. So exciting to see who will step up on Saturday night.
You've been running some wildcat with Rayshon Boswell. He ran for a touchdown. Tim Denham threw a terrific block to get him around the corner. Why does that work? It would seem to me that they'd see that on film and they'd go, okay, because so far every time he's run it. So does it just throw the defense off their timing a little bit and everybody kind of looks at each other and points?
Well, I think it's easy to say, well, he's probably running it, but where and which direction? And he's handed it off to Tim, and you know that's part of our Hobart package. And we've given different looks each week. You know, as we try to keep defenses honest, we're going to, as I said, day one, we're going to try to attack, you know, sideline to sideline and vertically, and we're going to do that through many different ways, formations and route concepts, run game, and then a lot of it's in the personnel packages. And, you know, Rayshon's a pretty dynamic player. Tim's ready for that package. We have a couple other guys, and we'll have some other things coming up in the next couple weeks that hopefully you'll enjoy too.
Defensively, I haven't had a chance to look at the numbers this week. I wouldn't be surprised if you're number one in the country. 8 interceptions in 3 games. Those guys just keep ball hawking.
Yeah, we talked about it. You know, the pressure's still coming. We're getting hits on the quarterback that's not always amounting in sacks, but I think we are influencing some throws. So I think it starts with, you know, eliminating the run or making teams be a little bit more one-dimensional. And then on the back end, you know, credit to our coordinators and our defensive backs and linebackers who are doing a really good job mixing up some of the coverages and some of the looks and for some of the quarterbacks that we faced. And then when the ball's in the air, we're going to be really aggressive. And, you know, it goes back to that mindset of we're not just content, hopefully, with a pass breakup. We'd love to be able to get an interception and then see if we can advance it for the field position.
You mentioned there haven't been a lot of sacks, but there has been good quarterback pressure. You've got 6 guys that you can trust. I mean, there's very few teams that rotate the number 2s in regularly. And I thought Naj Johnson had a great game in the middle of that game. We just kept talking about him all afternoon.
Yeah, it was really exciting to see the effort he had at the nose position. And our whole D-line, those guys are, you know, similar to the running back position. It's not just one guy. It's going to be a handful of guys coming through. And, you know, I think we're rotating 8-9 defensive linemen through. So there's that provides both fresh legs. It provides that competitive nature and also hopefully keeps that depth going, you know, for future games.
So do you say a lot to the guys that aren't getting on the field, or do they just know by looking at the way you play that, hey, if I step up in practice, I may get a run, and if I make plays, I'll get more runs?
Without a doubt. I mean, yesterday, in Tuesday's practice, we do a lot of crossover Hobart versus Hobart on Tuesday, and that's at every position. We're constantly evaluating. We had our second JV game on Sunday. The JV team now 2-0 with 2 solid wins, so those younger guys have had a chance to go out and play our system and are now becoming a little bit more confident in not just what they're doing, but now the techniques and how we're asking them to do it. And I think we got some really good young guys that just need the time and experience. So as I said to them on Tuesday's practice, is now it's just a matter of keep working, you know, taking care of your body, getting in, understanding the film and our opponents, and then when the opportunity presents itself, go out there and compete. And they've been doing it. So I'm really pleased with the trajectory of our program. You know, obviously there's still a lot of areas to improve on, but from the senior leadership down to the younger guys really buying into understanding what the Hobart way is, we're heading in the right direction.
Well, we both blew it in the broadcast booth on Saturday after the kickoff out of bounds. We both said, boy, that's pretty risky. They probably should just take it at the 35 because what are the chances that you're going to bust more kickoff returns for touchdowns? I guess we're wrong.
It's funny that I've had a couple messages after the game that, you know, you weren't the only one. I think many people questioned that call. And, it's a combination. I think there's calculated decisions throughout the game, when to run, when to pass, when to blitz, when not. That was a little bit of a gut decision. You know, it's anytime you can put the ball in Tim or Rayshon's hand, and I figured they just kicked it deep, they were going to. We had a very clear conversation at halftime, I think, with intent of what our first possession was going to be coming out on offense. And we were going to be aggressive, and to me, what other way than be aggressive is let's take a chance on the kickoff return. And it's also built up through trust. We've shown through practice and through past games that that unit can be pretty dangerous. And we highlight one guy. I mean, everyone talks about Tim, but there were some key blocks. Jay McCoy had a crucial block right at the 40-yard line that really opened up that lane. And yes, we might have maybe compromised a couple yards if we didn't get it all the way out to where we would have. But I think it goes with our mindset of we trust our players, put them in the right positions, and that kickoff return unit really capitalized on it.
Let's talk about your kickoff and punting game. It's not always about distance. Rob DiGregorio with kind of that angle kickoff and Toby Weffering, they had a good return man, so you made the decision to just keep it short and get a good net. I mean, if you get a 33, 34-yard punt and no return, that's better than risking the big return.
We were, and they did have a very dynamic returner. The one time we didn't bottle him up was the one that he got outside us, and there was a questionable call that, it didn't go our way. There was a hold, but, ultimately – that kickoff return unit gave up that one. And then after that one, we did decide to make sure that it wasn't in his hands at all. So we did kind of mix it up. And there was a little bit of a breeze, so it played into it. But with Rob and Toby in the kicking game, we do want to make sure that we're being smart, and what's best for the defense is putting them in longer fields to defend. So credit to those two guys with a good job placing the punts and the kicks.
Tell us a little bit about Joe Pelletier. We haven't seen him throw much because usually when he's in, the game's decided. But he looks like a good field general, runs the field well, and looks like he could step up if needed.
Absolutely. Joe is a very intelligent quarterback. He's been diligent since his first year, really learning the offense, intelligent in the classroom, intelligent in terms of the quarterback play. He knows where the ball needs to go. Is going to make more plays with his head and his arm probably than his feet, but is mobile enough to extend plays. And he's done a really good job in the last couple weeks with limited game reps of continuing to advance. And, he actually watching right before this this podcast, we were watching some video, and he had a really good practice yesterday. So pleased with his performance. And like I said, we had the JV game on Sunday. Our young quarterbacks performed well there. So, David is doing very well as a starter, and we expect him to continue to progress. But the good news is there's going to be young competition at that position, and that's what we want in all of the positions.
We know David Crewson can run the ball, but we also saw what can happen when a quarterback runs. Their quarterback just got hit hard, clean hit on a designed run. Has that entered into your thinking why you haven't called many design runs for him this year?
Absolutely. I think it's unfortunate that Fisher lost their quarterback. That's never our intent. It was a bang-bang play, and I wish him well in his return and recovery. But, that is it's a risk anytime you run the quarterback, anytime you run any player. There's a risk of injury. And, for us, we have some talented running backs. We'll eventually have some plays, and there are some plays that we're reading it where the quarterback could decide to choose to run or throw. But, David's a strong guy. He's worked hard in the weight room with Coach Gray and our strength staff. So when the time's right, we'll be able to run him when we need to. But I've always said I'd rather have a mobile quarterback than a running quarterback. And I think sometimes when you run the quarterback as your primary runner, you're going to take some extra hits that maybe are not necessary.
And you have run a lot of zone read action this year, but when you've got those running backs playing so hot, it's a pretty easy decision to make. If I'm David, I say, I'll give it off.
Yeah, and a lot of our formations were influencing the defense's choice so that I can kind of manipulate who's actually going to run it. Sometimes we can control that read. Other times it will be a true general read. But, there's no doubt David's a good athlete, and we expect, this week and moving forward, he's going to be able to make some plays with his feet as well with his arm.
So Keystone College, this Saturday night, 6 o'clock at Boswell, this is an interesting story. A school that had football way back when, dropped it for a long time, and then just started the program back up.
Yeah, I know their head coach very well. He's a close friend and colleague, and congratulated him when he first got this. And that was right in my transition back when a couple teams had decided they didn't want to play us anymore. There was openings, you know, the movements of the conference. So putting together the schedule was a challenge. And, you know, even a couple of years ago, we weren't able to have that homecoming game because there was no opponents that wanted to play us that week four. So when he came on board, he had had interest, and he's going to do a great job with that program. I know the type of man he is and the type of coach. He's a very, very good coach, and he's got a good staff. So it was exciting to see, like, it fit both an opportunity for us to play and, you know, about 3 hours away, so not too much from a distance standpoint. So we were going to play last year. Obviously, the season didn't happen, so this will be their first full year. And, you know, they're young, you know, as any, you know, startup program would have. But like I said, I trust Justin and the staff are going to do a really good job with their team moving forward.
The football alumni are pretty loyal. It's every weekend's alumni weekend. Every time we go to the Boz, we see a bunch of the old guys. Any kind of organized activities or anything for alums?
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. You know, it's one of those where sometimes they reach out and let me know they're coming back, and a lot of times it's on the victory walk or after the game where I see some of the guys back. But it should be a good weekend starting with Friday night with some alums coming into town, and they're always welcome around our team, so we'll have some guys, I'm sure, stop in and say hello. And then, you know, with Saturday being a later game, there'll be some activities throughout the day, and maybe some join our victory walk through. And then ultimately leading up to the 6 o'clock kickoff. And then I'm sure even on Sunday with the follow up the weekend. So always exciting to have homecoming. You know, it's a great time just to celebrate family and friends and alums coming back. But the focus has been very clear this week. It's been all about Keystone and our next opportunity for us to get better.
Do you have to say anything to your team when you're a big favorite like this? I mean, this is a game you should be able to handle pretty easily. Do they know, you know, do you have to say, hey, guys, take them seriously, or do they just do that on their own?
Well, when you know, and this is a sign, I think we have the right leadership and the right type of mindset with our team. I don't think they're overlooking Keystone at all. You know, if you look at the records, you know, people are, and unfortunately press tells you, you know, it's going to be an easy one. I'll let you know on Saturday night if that's the case. We respect every opponent that goes in at, you know, everyone, we got 60 minutes to go prove it, and sometimes longer if you need it. But I think what our guys are really hungry about is we haven't played a full game yet. In our eyes, at our standard, you know, you look at it, I think all three games we've been in control of, but the score has been close at halftime. And just, I don't think that's any one side of the ball, but all three phases working together, you know, we have to take a step forward, and Keystone's our next opponent. We're going to really focus on that. And then, I kind of grabbed their attention on Tuesday, making sure that they knew that that was going to be our focus this week. We've also had some injuries, so we have some new guys facing some opportunities to move forward. So sometimes that's a good opportunity for a young guy coming in, regardless of the opponent, to go showcase what they can do. So on Saturday, you're going to see some, again, similar theme as we've had the last three games, some new guys stepping up, and this is their opportunity to step forward and show us what they can do. And I'm pleased that with where we're at so far in the week, we got two more days to prepare, but I think our guys are going to be focused on the task at hand and not looking ahead.
When you talk about the alums, I've always said way more impressive than what this program does on the field is what these guys do after they leave. I mean, Muff's introduced me to a lot of them. Their husbands, their fathers, they're working good jobs. They're part of their community. And I mean, that's the mission, especially at the Division III level, is to turn out good young men.
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. And one of the things I'm really proud of as an alum myself is that, you know, we're process-driven, and we want to make sure that we're representing this program and continue to push this thing forward from a football standpoint. But there's no doubt that the pride that I get from serving in this capacity as the head coach is the type of young men that I get to work with, see them develop, and then ultimately follow their successes moving forward. You know, seeing promotions, seeing engagements, you know, running into and talking about them becoming fathers. And it's just that's the victories that I absolutely love the most, and why I love the position that I'm in and very grateful for this opportunity is that every single day I'm reminded that we get to work with great young men and hopefully influence them at a very crucial age and then push them forward and then continue to stay in touch with them as they grow their professional careers and their personal families. And I think that's the exciting part when I talk to alums is that, you know, they can reflect back and say the Hobart football touched them and influenced them in a way that's made them better. And that's our ultimate goal.
All right, Coach, good luck on Saturday night.
Appreciate it, Ted. Thank you.
Hobart and Keystone at the Boz Saturday night at 6 on WEOS. You can get your Hobart football news Instagram and Twitter at Hobart Football. And, of course, HWSAthletics.com. Find us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. HWSAthletics.com is the official website for Hobart and William Smith Sports. Until next time, have a great football week.